Securing our borders was a familiar cry of President Trump during his time in the White House. Now President Joe Biden has turned to a similar provision in US asylum law to introduce sweeping new measures to deter migrants crossing into America from Mexico. Barring successful legal challenge, the new measures kick in once the daily average exceeds 2,500. US border arrests averaged 4,300 per day in April. That's according to the most recent government statistics. These migrants at the US-Mexico border spoke to BBC News about their journey.
The only thing I would ask is that they give us a chance, because we have families, children to provide for. We don't come here for pleasure. If we had all we needed, we wouldn't come.
The only option is to enter because we aren't able to return. It was hard to cross all of Mexico. It would be equally hard to return.
Migrants at the US-Mexican border. Now, how will Democrats and Republicans react to this latest move by Joe Biden? Democratic Congresswoman Priyala Jayapal said she did not think the new border plan was the right action to take.
I'm profoundly disappointed. I don't think that this is the right action to take. Seeking asylum is something that we have to allow in order to be in line with our domestic laws, but also in order to be in line with our international treaty obligations.
Our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan, has been telling me more about the new measures and how they'll work.
The plan, Mary, it comes in the form of a proclamation from the president. It's not an executive order. It's not a bill for legislation. None of those avenues to get a change to what's going on the southern border has worked. So President Biden has come out with the only thing that's really left to him, which is to issue this proclamation. And what it does is severely limit, or attempt to severely limit, the number of people crossing the southern border each day into the United States. And what it's saying is that if border crossings that are detected by the Border Control Service, so obviously it doesn't include all border crossings, just the ones that they know about, if that averages 2,500 crossings a day, and it has been for a very long time, then they can shut the border and limit it down to legally notified crossings. There will still be border crossing points open, the official crossing points, and people coming up through South America can get an app for their mobile phones and register to make an appointment to cross the border legally and apply for asylum in a quasi-legal or at least orderly fashion. But that is limited to 1,400 places per day, which is the same situation that they have now. And migrants coming from the south through that channel find that there are very long waiting times in order to get an appointment to formally meet in a pre-arranged manner with the security services. So there could be quite a pile-up of people if that is the only orderly mechanism that is open to them. Otherwise, at the moment, it's a free-for-all. People turn up at the southern border, find a gap in the wire, or if there's no wire, they just walk straight into the country. Nothing is really effectively being done to stop them coming in. It is a big political issue. The real question about this proclamation is, because it's not legislation, there is no resourcing to go along with it. So the president may be saying close the border when the numbers hit this number per day, but because there's no additional money, they can't hire extra guards. They've no money for processing the backlog that's already there. They've no money for holding people or detaining them, and they've no money for deporting them. So how long this can actually operate for remains to be seen.
Does this sound, Sean, more like a Trumpian proclamation than one you would expect from Joe Biden and the Democrats?
I don't think a Trumpian proclamation. I mean, President Trump, when he tried it, used an executive order as a mechanism to try and bypass Congress and just get something, some sort of action being done there. That was struck down in the courts because the order was found to breach American law. And so there's a similar question mark over this mechanism. I suppose it's a reaction in some ways to President Trump, or candidate Trump as he now is, seeking to block legislation which the president had proposed in Congress earlier this year, which would have given Republicans an awful lot of what they had been asking for in terms of border control measures, and there would have been funding to go along with that to implement these measures. But having initially been somewhat enthusiastic about this proposal, when Donald Trump came out against it a few months ago, the Republican Party backed off because there was a political calculation here that it was better for the Republican Party, and in particular better for Donald Trump, to be going into the November election with the southern border still as an open issue, an open wound in American politics. And so there's been a very cynical game on Capitol Hill to block this legislation, even though it contains, by some estimates, 80% of what the Republicans have been looking for. Biden is, to some extent, calling their bluff by issuing this presidential proclamation.
Let's turn to the Middle East and what President Biden has been telling Time magazine. He's been saying that the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was prolonging the war in Gaza to hold on to office. It has been said by others before. But what's the impact of President Biden's comments and why he's saying it now?
If you go back to the original transcript from the Time magazine interview, the journalists ask him, some in Israel have suggested that Netanyahu is prolonging the war for his own political self-preservation. And you're right, Mary, that has been said a lot, certainly since the start of this year. And the journalist asked the president, do you believe that? Biden is quoted as saying, I'm not going to comment on that. There's every reason for people to draw that conclusion. And I would cite that before the war began, the blowback he was getting from the Israeli military for wanting to change the constitution, the court. And so it's an internal domestic debate that seems to have no consequence. And whether he would change his position or not, it's hard to say, but it's not been helpful. It's that line there, there's every reason for people to draw that conclusion, is the one that's been fastened on. At the end of yesterday's statement on the border, President Biden, when he was walking away with all journalists shouting questions at him, he stopped when somebody asked him about that remark in Time magazine. He turned around and addressed the reporter off microphone and said, I don't think so. I think he's trying to work out a serious problem he has, that referring to Benjamin Netanyahu dragging on the war. So Biden is cutting him slack as of his most recent remarks. And today we've seen a continuation of talks on a ceasefire, on this ceasefire proposal. The president's main advisor on the Middle East, Brett McGurk, and Bill Burns, the director of the CIA, have travelled to Qatar for talks there to try and get the deal across the line as best they can. Foreign Minister Antony Blinken spoke to the Saudis yesterday. Jake Sullivan was talking to the families of Americans who are held hostage there. And although we've seen a hardening of attitudes by both Hamas and by Israel, they don't look like they've definitively ruled things out. And I think there's a lot of wheels in motion behind the scenes that we're perhaps not seeing. And these talks in Qatar today may start to unblock things. But I mean, there's been a lot of false dawns over the past couple of months, but there is certainly a lot of pressure being applied by the Americans. And if pressure alone could bring about a solution, then I think, you know, we may be close. But the two sides are pretty hardcore. If anybody looks like they're the most keen, perhaps even the most desperate for peace, it's Joe Biden, not so much the Israeli government or Hamas.
And that was our Washington correspondent, Sean Whelan.